Hello, Draper City. Mayor Troy Walker with you again on our now hopefully famous Draper City Talk podcast. And we have a recurring guest today that you're going to like, one we've had on before. But first, I would like to introduce and thank our producer, who is Linda Peterson. Linda, say hello.
Hello, everyone.
Linda is our Draper City Communications Director, and she's fantastic. And we couldn't do this without her, so thank you, Linda. All right, so today we have Mr. Alan Matheson. We've had him on before, but if you don't remember, Alan Matheson is the Executive Director of the Point of the Mountain State Land Authority. And so I am also a member of the Point of the Mountain State Land Authority as a board member, one of 12, and Alan is the one who does all the work for us. and up till about 8 months ago, you were the only worker we had on that. Well, I guess it's been a couple of years, but it's like two of you now, right?
That's right. Yeah. We doubled our staff and are really rolling now.
So when we talk about lean government and government closest to the people, the point is it, because there's only two actual staff members and 12 board members.
And by the way, it's a great board. I've never seen one that's a bunch of busier people, but more engaged, more committed in trying to do this right. So thanks, Mayor.
Yeah, and our board is a unique board, just so everyone, I encourage you to look at the Point's website, but it's a board of talented people appointed by the governor, the legislature. My position there is a statutory position as the mayor, but we have several mayors, the county mayor, Mayor South Jordan. We have some really key legislators, Jordan Tusher, Jefferson Moss, Jerry Stevenson, folks that have been in the legislature for a long time, and they're committed, so it's a good group.
It's a great group, and interestingly, it includes the Commissioner of Higher Education, which
yes.
Tells you about the priority to make sure that we've got innovation and education and the private sector all working together.
And we're gonna get into that a little bit too. Alan, the last one was a while ago, but just tell us a little bit about your background, like where you come from and what you've been doing up until now.
Well, I can't keep a job, so I've done a bunch of different things, Mayor, but most recently I was the state planning coordinator, policy advisor to the governor, and the executive director of the Department of Environmental Quality. And it was a good experience, but frankly, I thought I'd rather build than regulate, and appreciate the board giving me the opportunity to do that.
Yeah, your education. You're an attorney, and you went to a good school, if I recall. I think Stanford, if it was my recollection, one of my favorite schools. So
Stanford undergrad, UCLA law. Practiced in Arizona for a while, and now to the good people of Draper, I'm a recovering attorney.
The point about that is you're really talented. You've got really good impeccable education credentials and actual legal. You practice law in this area of land use and these kind of things. So you bring a really amazing amount of experience for us. So we're lucky to have you. So
well, thank you, Mayor.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
And so if you want to get to know Alan a little bit more, you can look at his bio. But he's really, we're lucky to have him as on our king. Let's go to the point. Now everyone should know, and although there are some that don't, I've had a call or two that say, I had a lady call me, that was probably a year ago, and say, Mayor, I don't know how you pulled this whole move in the prison off without anyone knowing, but it's amazing. And I said, without anyone knowing it. She said, I haven't heard about it. And I said, well, there's a rock of some sort you're under, because there's just no way you couldn't have heard about it. I mean, I don't think there's been a more publicly vetted project ever that I know of.
Yeah, and it should be that way. I mean, this is a state project, which means we all have a stake in it, and we want people to know what's going on with their project and get their input. And people have not hesitated to tell us what they think ought to happen there.
And that's good, too. And so if you don't know about the point, it's your own fault. That's what I say. You can look it up. You can go on the website, and it's all there. It's all open. Every single meeting we have every month is public meeting. You can come. You can make public comment. This is not any secret process, but it's one that's been quite open. So we've had some good progress. Tell us what happened in 2023 and where we are progress-wise today.
Well, 2023 was a great year. We had some milestones that were really important for the project, and some of them more visible than others. But let me mention a few of the highlights. One is, to get this thing done, we have to build infrastructure. And we needed a little money up front to be able to do it. And so over the last couple of years, we've worked with the state legislature. And they've put money in a loan fund to put in the initial infrastructure. So roads, water, sewer, electrical, gas, fiber, parks, trails, et cetera. And the deal is that this is a loan that will be paid back to the people of Utah with interest from proceeds from this project.
And it's exciting because most of the time in development, the infrastructure comes in along with the project. They build the road and everything is to get to their to build their building. And usually, I know people always say, why don't you do the roads first? Well, it never makes any sense for a developer to do that. But in this case, because this unique project, we can put this infrastructure in to allow them to really launch the site. And that's sort of been the concept behind it. If we can put the infrastructure in right up front, we can get the development we want sooner.
That's right. It accelerates the development. It also increases the value of the land. And so the developers are going to be paying higher lease rates for the land that they have. And that, again, goes back to benefit the people in the state.
Yeah, and that's what's amazing about this project is it's a state project. All of us benefit. The bigger it goes, the better it is for everyone because the more money the state will end up ultimately getting. Initially, we talked about that this project would be a way to pay for the new prison, which got built and is operational. Fortunately, our state does well enough that they've paid for the new prison. So this doesn't have to like pay a current bill for the new prison, but hopefully we can recover at least as much as the new prison cost over time for the state taxpayers.
That's right. So we want to have an economic return to the people of the state. We want a quality of life return. We want it to be a place that will attract great companies, opportunities, spur innovation, recreation, et cetera. And beyond that loan money that the legislature identified, they've also appropriated some money for a transit stop, a front runner station stop at the point. And we think that's really important because it connects the area to the entire region. So people from all along the Wasatch Front can get there easily.
Ogden to Provo.
That's right.
Yeah.
And it's important to note, it's not just for that station. It's for double tracking along the right of way so that we can double the speed of the stops along the way. And so that's important. As a legislature, they put in some money for what will probably be the first building on the site, which is an innovation center. Call it Convergence Hall, where all of the institutes of higher learning in the state can come together, do research, have lab space, maker space, venture capital, take ideas, nurture them, commercialize them, and really partner with the private sector, with entrepreneurs, with secondary education and more to create an environment that, is kind of a culture of creativity, attract the best minds.
And that's, that's certainly going to be, hopefully, what sort of launches the concept of high-tech jobs, high-tech innovation that will be high-paying, good jobs for our kids to have and keep. And, talent doesn't have to leave Utah. Your interest could be biotech. It could be computers. It could be, computer wafer technology or chip. All that stuff could all start incubating right here at the point. So kind of what we hope.
Well, I've got kids and a few tiny little grandkids that I want to stay around here. And if they can have world-class careers in Utah and don't have to leave, then we've helped accomplish that job.
And when we talk about the transit too, I think I'm glad you brought it up because it's a key. I've been working with UTA in one form or another for about 15 years, almost my whole time in elected office. And, one of the things, Front Runner is an amazing transportation vehicle. It has some limitations because it shares a significant portion of its track with the freight trains, Union Pacific and et cetera, the headway. So but during off times, you might wait over an hour for a train to come. So it comes every hour and 10 minutes or every hour and 5 minutes. And I understand that's not practical. If you're trying to get down to Salt Lake City or trying to get from Provo to the point, you can't wait an hour. So the double tracking, which is part of that infrastructure money, is going to make it so we can get Front Runner down to 15-minute headway, which makes Front Runner a viable form of getting you around.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's all about making it easy for people to get in and out of the project, especially right. without increasing traffic on the site.
Right. And it's all part of this initial investment, which is exciting. Let's talk a little bit about the demolition, because if you've noticed, if you've driven by, there's only one building left out there. But tell us a little bit about the demolition, how that went.
Yeah, so I think a lot of people have been interested to watch the demolition underway and can see that we've now created essentially a blank canvas to start painting this great community on. The demolition went well, ahead of schedule, under budget.
Yeah, let's go over the budget, because you and I have both been in meetings where people will throw these numbers out. I mean, where were we last week? And someone threw out 200 and some million or something.
Yeah.
What did it cost to demolish?
And I think the demolition was somewhere around $25 million. Yes. It's not trivial, but
not
it's 200 not
$200 million. Yeah, right.
And it went well. As I said, we really wanted to start with the values of this project, even with demolition. So sustainability is one of the things we heard from the public. And we've recycled about 76% of the materials that were taken off the site. So that's rebar, and it's steel, and it's concrete.
Yeah, because the demolition of the prison site, it's not like knocking down a house or some wood structure. These are steel-reinforced concrete, fortresses. I mean, prison.
Not meant to go down.
Not meant to go down. In fact, the absolute opposite of it. Intended to stand up to any kind of escapes, etc. So, when you talk about $25 million to tear that level down, I think that's pretty reasonable.
Well, and a lot of it was underground that people didn't see, but all of the concrete on the site was crushed on site, and you can see some mounds of that. It's all going to be used as part of the project. So it's kind of taking the old and building the future out of it. Road base, foundations. But I think importantly for the people of Draper, we avoided over 8,000 big truck trips. That's about 160,000 miles of truck trips that would have impacted the roads, that would have impacted traffic, air quality, et cetera. Instead, now we're going to use those materials to save us money in constructing what comes next.
And that's exciting, and that's government working for you in a way. I mean, again, it goes to the concept, our board's directive was to do that, to be environmentally friendly, to do some sustainability, and you executed it. And the division of our DCFM, our state agency that ran it, they did a fantastic job.
Yeah, they did a really good job. And we're fortunate to partner with other entities in the state to use their talent.
And we're lucky to have Jim Russell, who's the director of DCFM, which is the entity that does all these kind of projects, as a board member of ours. So that's nice for us.
Brings a lot of expertise and has been a great partner.
And Jim, he works hard to save the state Secretary's money, and he does a good job at it. So that's exciting. So then let's talk about we talked about the Convergence Hall, which is going to be maybe the first building that we see. Let's talk about this development agreement. Now, you and I are both lawyers. I'm not a land use lawyer, but I can tell you that development agreement took me every time that I read it about 8 hours to read it. It literally took a day of time to read through it, because it was about 9 inches thick, if I remember, somewhere in there. And you read it more times than I did. I know you did. And spent more time to go. Let's talk about it a little bit. That was, you had lawyers from all sides in there.
That's right. And, when you start a project like this, it's important that everybody knows what they're getting into. What are the ground rules? What are we expecting? How do people get compensated? How do we approve the development going forward? And this is a unique project. We couldn't go out and just pull a model off the shelf from somewhere else and use it. So I would say, I think what's important for the people here to hear is we've set some very high standards in this development agreement that we're holding the development partners to. And they were great to work with, by the way. I think everybody was working toward creating a document that would allow us to succeed and actually build what we promised that we would build. And so they get extra credit for bringing in Fortune 100 companies, for bringing in restaurants and retail that we haven't seen before and using Utah labor and companies.
Yeah, and, I mean, that's a great point. Utah labor, Utah companies. Yeah. Right. And, I sat in on a fair number of these meetings where we were negotiating. And, you know, I want people to know we had the points attorney, we had the development partners attorneys, county attorney, even a city attorney from Draper that got to participate. So, I mean, everybody got to be heard and all the things got addressed. And is it perfect? I don't think so. But is it good? It's pretty good, especially because it's unique and it's going to work. That's the best part.
Pretty good, and it'll work. And we'll amend it as we need to, right, to go forward.
Yeah. Yeah, it was an interesting process because it's so unique.
But I think we do need to shout out to the Point Partners who,
yes,
Lincoln Property Group, Wadsworth Development, Clemente Development, national and local folks who are committed to doing this right. And let's face it, the market is different than it was when we started this process.
Oh boy.
It's a tough real estate market, but they're hanging tough and committed to accomplishing what we said.
And so everyone's, just so you remember, we're talking about the phase one developer. So this, right, is just phase one, and it's about 70 acres, give or take, 68 to 70.
It'll be about 100 acres total and about 60 plus of that developed.
So you have, infrastructure will take up some of it. But so it's like 1/7 of the project size. So that's where we're at. We're on the phase one developer. Our own local, if you live in Draper, you know the Wadsworths. So we have a local, somebody who's been here their whole family's life, and so it's kind of cool that way. As we look at those guys and what they're willing to do, and what's unique about this project to me is typically a developer buys a piece of property, and most of them can't sit on it. Most of them have to, turn it and make a profit to cover the cost of land. The good news here is we can sit on this. We don't have to be in a hurry. We can make sure that it's done right and it's done well, and we don't have to just go develop it all at once. We have that flexibility.
That's right. And if you look at what we're doing, a developer wouldn't come in and do it because the costs are above market. We've got above market sustainability, above market transportation, above market open space, housing, et cetera. And it only works because we're willing to be patient, add value to the property so we can get the rents that would support the vision.
Now, I know this isn't on your paper, but I did a town hall a couple weeks ago, and we were talking about this, and this 15-minute city business comes up. Now, I want to get this. I want to clear the air on this. The 15-minute city, as everyone thinks it is, where it's some government-controlled lockdown access, facial rec, all that stuff, is not, and I want to underscore it, a thing.
It's not a thing for us.
Yeah.
They've talked about other groups. Yeah. I don't know what somebody's doing in,
right,
Europe, but for us, this is a Utah project being done in the Utah way, and we're all about access.
Yeah.
We're all about freedom and, yeah, liberty and giving people opportunity to
including
to
a massive road through the middle of the project called Porter Rockwell Boulevard.
That's right.
Okay.
We're putting roads through, we're connecting with transit so that people can get in and out easily. And so all of the conspiracy stuff, it's just,
yeah,
not
it's
real.
It's nuts is what it is. When we said 15-minute city way back when we were talking about moving the prison, here's what we meant. We meant you could live in a place where you could work there, walk 15 minutes to your office, maybe 15 minutes to your grocery store, and back to your house. It wasn't you were locked in and could only move around for 15 minutes. In fact, my son was at the town hall, and he's about 28 years old. And as he listened to us talk about it, he said to me after, I want to live there. I would like to be able to not have to drive if I don't want to, you know. Although the funny part about it, too, is there's a lot of parking structures in this city, right? I mean, so obviously the cars are going to be there, and they're going to
cars are going to be there. We're not going to restrict people, yeah, from having them, but we want to give options. That's what freedom's about.
So I want to be clear with it because I've heard it. It is absolute nut jobbery conspiracy theory. It is not a thing in Utah. Now I don't know, maybe in some other place, but there is zero chance that's happening on the point.
Zero chance.
Zero chance. So folks, if you were confused, don't be. It's not a thing. All right, let's talk about now the long-range transportation plans and into the point, like because this is going to be, and when you look at it too, you have the point, which is about 700 and so acres.
Yeah, probably closer to 600.
600, yeah, developable. So, but then you look at some of the areas around the point, a little bit south. Geneva's Geneva Rock's big giant quarry that's in Draper and partly in Lehigh. That's right on around 1,700 acres. So this area, as the future goes, this is going to be the place to be, not just the point, but as you can see it going forward. So we have this unique opportunity to set the standard, if you will, for the future. And the transportation has got to include high-quality transit and maybe even some innovation. So talk a little bit about what we're looking at there.
Yeah, transportation is critical. People are concerned about the traffic in the area, and I absolutely get that. So we've brought in some experts from all over the country to help think about a mobility strategy that is world-class. A big part of that is transit, and we've talked about some of that, but UDOT and UTA have been working and recently announced that there will be a light rail system that ultimately will connect with Front Runner, go through our site, connect down south into Utah County. We're looking at internal circulator systems of different kinds that will get you within a 5-minute walk of any place on the site.
See, not even 15, 5 minutes.
5 minutes.
5 minutes.
That's right. So
5 minutes city.
But I'll tell you, we're in discussions about vertiports, you know, the flying taxis, the air taxis.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
How do we make sure that we're developing in a way that doesn't interfere with the opportunity for that kind of technology in the not-too-distant future?
Yeah, so you look at light rail coming through there, connecting south, ultimately probably to the Provo Airport, hopefully out to Eagle Mount, Saratoga Springs, where all the houses are going right now. The future's bright, and this is a focal point that's going to keep kind of launch it as we go forward. Let's talk about some of the next steps really quick. Talk a little bit about the Olympics, what Fraser Bullock said the other day about the point and kind of what we're looking at maybe there.
Yeah, listen, we want to be part of ensuring that Utah puts its best foot forward for the Olympics. And the Salt Lake Committee recently announced that they're trying to get 24,000 housing units for those that will be coming into the Olympics. And the point can be part of that.
Right.
And we'd love to be able to house some of the officials and the media and others that come in the area. We hope that there will be more activity related to the Olympics at this site.
That's good. And, you know, and recently you've heard about the NHL and the talk about bringing an NHL expansion team or even a pre-existing team, you know, to Utah. And, of course, you know, we think, you and I, and I think almost all of our board, the point is a great spot where I think with our ability to do the subcampus program we have, there's ways that could be a really good spot. And I've said it ever since I've been involved in it. I like something with an N. And, NHL's great. NFL, I'm still hoping maybe we can have both. But I do think it's important that people understand that as a point board, our job is to make decisions that benefit that site to its highest and best use. And that's what my votes are always going to be about. But it's exciting to think that this is a viable place for something like that in the future. I'm hopeful.
Yeah, and, you know, we've got processes that we go through to make sure that we're protecting everyone. And we want to work with the community to do what's best for Utah. But, you know, it's a prospect that's kind of exciting.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it would really be something else to see it. You know, it would be – the good news is they always say location, location, location. And with a couple of freeway interchange, Bangor Highway interchange, and then Front Runner, light rail – it's going to be a good location.
It's a great location, right between the two counties and beautiful setting.
Yes, Middle Earth, as Speaker Hughes used to say. And I always teased him that I know he had never actually read the book. He's only seen the movie. But the sentiment's good. So
that's right.
Anyway, so let's talk a little bit about one of the things that was in the news a few months ago, the iconic artwork and the Statue of Responsibility, which garnered a fair amount of comments from not only Draper citizens, but I would say statewide, wouldn't you say, Linda?
Yes, definitely. People were not shy with their feedback.
Lots of comments. So, Alan, tell us about the Statue of Responsibility, where it fits, what the process is, and why we're even talking about iconic art.
Well, art's going to be a big part of this. It distinguishes the site. It creates opportunities for discussion and stimulates thought and makes it an interesting place. And so we're actually working on a Arts Master Plan, have some great talent from around the country that's helping us think through it. And it's everything from how do you commission art? How do you maintain it? How do you pay for it? What's the contracting like? But also, where should it go and what are some themes? So that's underway. But kind of separate from that is this idea that the governor and many others have had, many in the public, that we ought to have a feature that is truly iconic. The Bean in Chicago and Eiffel Tower in Paris. What's Utah's version?
The Sphere in Las Vegas.
Sphere in Las Vegas. So we've had a proposal that's come in. We have a process that allows us to receive and evaluate proposals under a defined process. And the folks from the Statue of Responsibility Foundation submitted a proposal to put that feature at the Point. It would be a complement to the Statue of Liberty, and the idea is that liberty only works if coupled with responsibility for ourselves, one another, country, planet, et cetera. So that we're in the process of evaluating it. We've asked for some additional information. We need to know what it would mean for traffic and impact on retail and residential.
And of course, the key that I think that I want everyone to understand is this is not something that the Point's paying for. This art's going to have to support itself. Right. The government's not paying for this or anything else that comes
That's
in.
That's right. That's what they represented to us, that it would be fully paid for by private donations.
So, you kind of know where we're going with that, folks, and keep an eye on it. And obviously, we'll take your comments. But that's the context that we're looking at it in, which the message of those folks is a good message. I think it is true. We need to be responsible to have a lawful republic. I mean, that's the rule of law is the whole thing, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if you don't believe in the rule of law, then you just do what you want. I mean, and we have chaos. So I like the message. And certainly the governor liked it, and there were a lot of folks do, and some don't. We know that. But we'll be tuned.
And any art and something like that is going to inspire initial reaction, and that's okay. That's part of its future.
We got a couple minutes left. Let's talk about some of the challenges that you're dealing with.
You know, one of the challenges is that we've got a lot of great ideas that come in. When you talk to 16,000 residents, there are some really exciting ideas, and we can't accommodate all of them at this site. So part of the challenge is finding the right balance, doing things that are exceptional and interesting and make a difference in people's lives, but also having a foot in reality and knowing that our resources are limited and the market will dictate some of what happens.
Yeah, I remember one of the first vignettes people were talking about, someone wanted a jousting arena. They thought we should make a massive jousting arena down there, and I thought,
different.
Yeah. Disney,
thing.
Utah.
Again, not a thing. But anyway, so, we got those kind of challenges. We still have logistical challenges with getting water and getting sewer and getting all the things that a big development has, and we're working through all those things.
Right. It's a complex project, but take them one at a time with some good people, and we'll get there.
The benefits in closing, as we did the analysis, I know you'll remember these numbers, but if we would have done it like a normal development, it was X. If the way we're doing it, it's Y. So tell us a little bit about that in closing.
Yeah, so study, the University of Utah said that if we just sold off and developed it as typically did, would create about 8,600 jobs. Under our plan, 46,500. And the total economic impact at full build-out under the baseline would be $1.267 billion a year. Under our plan, over $7 billion a year to the state.
So, folks, there you go. That's why we're doing it. That's why we're being judicious about it. That's why we're being transparent about it. That's why we're trying to find the highest quality builders, highest quality tenants, highest quality opportunities, be it sports, entertainment, art. We're doing all of that to make that $7.6 billion a reality, because that is water that floats all our boats. Like, as Ronald Reagan used to say, that rising tide, and that will be a rising tide. And it doesn't take many years of that to pay for that prison and all the other things that we need in Utah. So, Alan, thank you for talking to us again, and we're always glad to get to talk to you, and you keep us well informed, our council and everyone else. So thank you again for all you do.
Well, listen, I love Draper. I want to be an adopted son here. It's
You're so adopted. We'll get a decree out, a special resolution.
It's been a great partnership, and we want this to work for the people of the city, our hometown.
Yeah, it's awesome. Well, again, Linda, thank you. Anything else you want to add?
Just a reminder to visit thepointutah.org, the project website, for the latest updates and more details about the development plans.
And that also gives the links to our meetings.
Yes.
It does. We'd welcome people to watch our monthly meetings and hear what's going on.
All right. Well, until next time, we're signed off.